Well, it is such a joy to be here. Thank you. I got to tell you, we go around and we get to be around a lot of churches in the Tucson community, and I get to speak to them. But you are so friendly. I mean, I lost count how many people came up and said hi to me. Do you know that's unusual? Do you know how scary it is to go to a new church? And you're kind of sitting there. Thank you for making me feel welcome. Man, I haven't sensed that you like me. So thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. There's two things why I'm excited to be here. One is because I became a Christian in a Lutheran church. I'll take you back. November of 1979, I was going out with a girl who was going to a Lutheran church, and to go out with her, I had to go to church with her. I had never been to church in my life, but I'm going to go anywhere. She's going to go. So I went, and I walked in, beautiful church. I'm from Seattle, just beautiful A-frame church. They were missing two acolytes. So they looked at us. We were young. Would you want to be an acolyte? Next thing I know, I'm putting this robe on. I'm lighting candles. I'm going, this is some kind of movie. That was the beginning of some relationships. And I came to Christ because of that church. And I really thought that Jesus Christ was just a swear word up until that point. And all of a sudden, I came to the realization that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. And I remember kneeling down by my waterbed, if you remember those. That tells you how old I am. I'm sitting, kneeling down, and just giving my life to Christ. And so I am so excited to be in your church, a Lutheran church, and it brings back so many memories. The second thing is Dave Drum is one of my heroes. Dave Drum. And can we give him a hand? His heart for the church, his heart for you, he's told me about you. His heart for the community speaks so loud to me. And I just praise God for him. And Romans 12 Ministries is what I'm part of. This is our third year of coming alongside pastors, ministry leaders, missionaries, and their families, and just helping them because it's really hard work. Who shepherds the shepherds? And you guys have gone through some tough things. I just heard it from Jim. You persevered. God is working. But to be able to lock arms with him, and he's part of our Romans 12 team, and I just am so thankful for him. So I want to share with you, if I could, I want to go back as we heard the scripture being read to 1975. 1975, David Towne was totally into disco. Middle schooler. Look at that guy. Had the white leisure suit, had the flowery. And it was our first dance at middle school, seventh grade. Could not wait. I had the platform shoes. My mom did my hair, kind of blew dry my hair. I walked up thinking I was really something. And at that time, we were in the gym, and they transformed that into like a dance place and all the lights and stuff. And at that time, I'm not sure if you remember this, but that time, the guy stood against the wall. And the girls chose the guys. Now, as you look at this guy, who would not choose me? For the next 2 hours, I stood against that wall. And I remember walking home going, I'm never going to a dance again. And so when it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it means something to me because I likes to be chose. And for him to choose me, for him to choose you, to see value in you should change everything. So when we look at this scripture, therefore, as God's chosen people, and then we read in John that, you know what? You didn't choose me. I chose you. That just means so much to me. that there's value. I'm going through 1 Samuel right now, and you know, Samuel is, the people are wanting a king, right? They want a king. And Samuel picks Saul. Kind of blew it. He was kind of down in the dumps. God basically, get your head up. I'm going to show you the next king of Israel. So he goes to Jesse's household, right? And he's looking at all the sons. Nope, that's not him. Not that. I didn't choose him. They're out of sons. And you know the story. Samuel says, okay, is there anybody else? And the message says, well, there is a runt out in the field. I feel like I'm a runt. I'm sure at times you feel that way. And yet God sees the heart. He sees the potential. He sees you with different eyes than the world does. He has chosen you, whether you sing or teach or work on at Raytheon. He has chosen you. And it means so much to me. I mean, remember those times when you weren't chosen? When you weren't selected, you took a step of faith and you ran for office and you weren't chosen? Or you did everything possible to get that date for the prom? You decorated the locker. You made the signs. You brushed your teeth. And she said no. Because the quarterback of the football team had asked her. Or when you just, silly game of kickball, for heaven's sakes. Remember the two popular kids got to be captains? So you just wait. You wait. Who's going to pick David? Yeah, we'll take him. There's no motivation to play kickball when you're the last person. You're not even selected. You're not even chosen. You're just like, you know, you let him play. You go out into the outfield and you start picking up the grass and stuff like that, and you just don't even care. Because you weren't. But to think that you were chosen, that God chose me, like in the first round, like I have value, he sees that. I want to be part of the game. So that's it. We are chosen. And then the second thing it says is that therefore clothe yourselves. So I want to introduce my wife. Sophia Town is right here, and she is the director of women's ministries. Can we give her a hand? Because she's put up with me for almost 38 years. She deserves a trophy. And as we work together, we have one other person full-time, then we have 12 Jonathans that help with our organization. Dave Drums being one of them, is that before the Amazon person would come numerous times during the day and ring the doorbell, I mean, isn't it sad? I go outside, the Amazon guy is coming. I've never met him. He goes, hi, Mr. Town. And he calls her by first name. He's there all the time. But before that, she would go shopping for clothes. And sometimes, I don't know about the malls, but those lights make me so tired. Don't they, gentlemen? I mean, that's why they have the park benches in the malls. Because I'm just, all of a sudden, it's the lights and I'm just exhausted. And she's just having a great time shopping. Clothes shopping. And there were times where I'd go in there and I'd sit by the dressing rooms, and she'd come out and she'd take off her clothes, put on the clothes, and do you like this, do you like this, do you like this, and take them off, put them on, and she was doing that. She would be happy not even buying anything the whole day. It was driving me absolutely insane. Let's buy it. It's victory. But that was just an experience for her. But to think that God says, okay, I chose you, now clothe yourself. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievousness you have with each other. Forgive as I forgave you. So now we're in the kickball game. We need to clothe ourselves. We need to get involved. We need to do all these different things. And if you look at that chapter in Colossians, there are so many verbs. I taught eighth graders for almost 30 years. That's why I look this way. I absolutely love them. What a great tipping point. But we talk. I do English and history, and we talk about verbs, and we try to make that exciting. It's kind of boring, but writing is so important. But if you look at these different things, look at this. I mean, in chapter 3, there's so many verbs that God is saying to us. He says, set your mind, set your heart, put to death, rid yourselves, take off your old self, put on the new self, clothe yourselves. Do something. You're in the game. I chose you because I love you, period. I see something in you. But now clothe yourselves. Put off the old, put on the new. You can't do that by yourself. You need my spirit in me. You know what needs compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience? Costco. In the last 2 weeks, I've gone to Costco. I've seen two almost fist fights at the gas station. No lie. It's crazy. And then I go in with the big carts, and people are out of their minds for the samples. It is crazy. I come out of there so stressed, I don't want to go. It's kind of like Disneyland, the happiest place in the world. No. Most stressful taking kids to Disneyland. We need to be different. You've been chosen. You are a first-round draft choice. We need to clothe ourselves with that. And you know what? Left to ourselves, the old person wins every time. It's so easy. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken for the first time in years because my mother, who's 90 years old, who's such a kick, she had a craving. And when my mother has a craving, you say, yes, Mom. She wanted some crispy chicken. So I thought, I planned ahead. I got onto the website, and I scheduled the pickup at 5:30. It was 2 o'clock. Pretty smart, yes? Planning ahead. Because we were supposed to be there at 6, and my mother likes us to be there at 6. So I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken at 5:28 and gave him my order, and the young girl, who must have been a high schooler, just kind of looked at me like dumbfounded. I go, well, it's right here at 5:30. She says, I can't find it. She goes back and talks to somebody, comes out and says, I'm sorry to say this, but they made the order right when you ordered it at 2. It's been sitting on the shelf for over an hour, and we decided to throw it away. I said, well, that's okay. It's 5:30 now. Where's my order? Well, we'll have to cook the chicken because we don't have any crispy chicken for you. And I knew I was going to talk to you today about this. And there was a battle in my gut. The old man was coming out, at least in my head. So I sat down. I go, this is ridiculous. A lady behind me went up to the counter, and nobody was helping her. And I saw her go crazy. She goes, is anybody at this counter right now? And I thought, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I don't want to be that way. I feel like being that way. But you've made me study the scripture all week. Compassion and kindness. So I got up to the counter, and I just, I think her name was Valerie. And Valerie, poor girl, I mean, she had all colored hair and stuff. And I just said, Valerie, how you doing? We started having this conversation. 20 minutes later, I got my chicken. I said, thank you, Lord. I couldn't have done that on my own because I wanted to just go off. I wanted to talk to the manager. I wanted to over chicken? There's a war going on in Ukraine. And I'm worried about chicken and being late for my mom, although that is kind of scary. The third thing I want to share that really struck out to me was this idea of let. So we've been chosen, we're to clothe ourselves, but then God tells us let. The definition, to allow or permit, to grant the occupancy or use of. You know what? I just think of just let. Just surrender. Be quiet. You know, it was really neat just to be quiet for 30 seconds here as a body. We don't do that very often. Let the peace of Christ, let the word of Christ, let the message of Christ, let of you just surrendering, open up your heart. I think that's what he's telling us to do. Because we know we're chosen, and we are to put on the new self, but there's also a part that we just need to let. Yeah? And not control. And not dictate. I've gotten into the habit, and I so enjoy it, in the morning to go out for a walk. I guess that's what old people do. It's not a run. Did you hear that? It's not a run. I call it town shuffle. With my walking stick with the little whistle that I can blow if I see a javelina. And I walk, and I don't have headphones. I don't have anything. I'm just walking, listening to the sounds of the morning, and listening and letting God speak to me. It has been a huge transformation. I'm not sure what that's like for you, but I encourage you to do something like that. Turn off the TV, get rid of the phone, and just let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. The last one is whatever. Whatever you do. In my collection of personal things that means so much to me is a picture of my youngest son that he drew for my birthday. See, it probably doesn't mean much to you, and you might not be able to see it really clearly. But there's a picture he drew of his mom. And she's saying, "Have you gotten in trouble?" And there's a picture of him saying, "No." There's a picture of his brother saying no, but there's a picture of me saying yes. And then there's a picture of us playing tennis. This is what we did. And there's a picture of us driving and riding our bikes. There's a picture of us climbing a hill and hiking. There's a picture of my 1987 Nissan truck, and he's in the back of it. There's a picture of us at the movie theater watching 007, which I know some of you are thinking, okay, might be a little young, but those are his memories. Do you know what the truck looks like? Do you know where the rust spots are? Huh? The dings? Do you see the color of the hills? Do you see the bicycle? It's a 1984 Nishiki blue touring bike. See, it doesn't mean much to you, but it means a ton to me because I experienced that with him. And so when Jesus says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Get to know me. Because your experience different than mine. And you see things differently because you're experienced that with him. Because he's chosen us. He's asked us to clothe ourselves. He's asked us to surrender. Whatever we do. See, that's the power of his word. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. He's talking to me because you don't know my trials, but he does. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, can you picture it? I can, in my head, Because he knows me. He's chosen me. So I taught school for many years. I was a principal for many years. I'd much rather be in the classroom than a principal. Adults are just harder to get along with. But in my fifth year of teaching, I always loved when August came to look at my class list. I never looked at it before. A lot of the teachers did, to see who was in the class. And as an eighth grade teacher, I just refused to do that. But there was one child that started in sixth grade, seventh grade, who was a terror. Max. Max caused three teachers to quit. Max was a handful. Max was autistic. He also had Tourette syndrome. And he was a terror. I didn't know him. I just heard about him. So I broke my rule. Got back to school right before for teacher report day, looked through my class list. First period, no problem. Didn't see Max. Second period, didn't see Max. Third period, didn't see Max. Lunch. Fourth period, Max is on my roster. After lunch, that's hard for me. So I said, okay, Lord, not an accident. So Max sat in the front. You name it, he did it. He was just, hey, with his, hey, hey. The two girls behind him were the two cheerleaders. That didn't go well with them. He would pass gas on purpose. He would not participate. He would disrupt class the whole time. And by the end of the 3 weeks, at the end of August, I had enough. Teacher four is going to quit. I got into teaching to teach. I got out of sales to get into teaching because I wanted to make a difference. I felt God calling me to do it. But I told my wife, I said, I can't do it. There's no way I can't do this anymore. I can't teach. And so that next week, Max had to go take his medicine. So he went to the nurse. And I just got everybody up, gathered around. There were 30 of them. I said, guys, I'm struggling. You're struggling. I see how you treat him. You laugh at him. You don't include him. You're repulsed by him. And I'm struggling to teach. I'm struggling too. What can we do? We have 8 more months together. That's a long time. What can we do? And Jennifer, never forget it, little eighth grader in the back, she raised her hand. She said, why don't we just love him? Why don't we just love him, Mr. Town? I said, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. You guys, are you committed to do that? To show compassion and kindness, gentleness with him when he's unlovable? Yeah. Put our hands together. All of us. 1, 2, 3, let's go. And something changed. All of a sudden, the two cheerleaders in the back weren't as bothered by him. The big football players started including him, talking to him. And he started to change slowly. And one time, he would just never write. What's the English class? You got to write. And Max, you got to write something. He started writing. I was so excited. This was in November. And I thought, you know what? I just need to give him a hug. So I put my arm around him and said, Max. Well, if you know autistic kids, a lot of times they don't like that. He bolted out of his chair, started screaming, ran out of the classroom. And we all looked at each other and go, okay, let's not hug him right now. He started participating in classroom discussions. See, Max could not lie. So in February, when I had the wrong tie on, it didn't match my suit or my outfit, he'd raise his hand now. This was starting to go away. And he would say, Mr. Town, your tie does not match your shirt. And everybody would go, yeah, you're right, Mr. Town. He doesn't, you know. Mr. Town, you misspelled that word on the whiteboard. Oh, gosh, I did. Thanks, Max. You're right, yeah. Mr. Town, you should write. You know. And it was just starting to be like this. And it was a transformation of a life because we clothed ourselves with love and compassion. And the last day of school, I always gave out awards to every student. I mean, most of them were fun awards. Most likely to be a hairdresser. Most likely to be late for their wedding. All these different fun awards. But with Max, I gave him the Brilliant Mind Award because he was off the charts. And he stood up to get the award, and the whole class immediately stood and gave him a standing ovation. He reached over, grabbed the certificate, put his arms around me, and said, I love you, Mr. Town. There was not a dry eye in that classroom because we chose Max. And we chose to clothe ourselves. And guess who changed? He did, but we did. And the week after school got out, I received in my mailbox at school one of my all-time favorite prized possessions, a note that was typed by Max. Can I read it to you? And I'm going to try to imitate his voice but not to make fun at all. But this is how he talked. What exactly is high school like? I don't know, because I'm not there yet. I am almost there, but not yet. However, one thing is for sure. It will be difficult without a teacher such as yourself. Of course, there will be others there, but none of them will compare. It's that simple. He may be as good a teacher, but he isn't like you. You are a person, and you are one of the millions of billions of trillions of possibilities for character. I won't see anyone like you because you are the only one. You always were, and you always will be. I want a friend as well as a tutor. You are my friend. You were chosen. It's not an accident that you're here. I'm not sure how you got up this morning. Aren't you thankful that you have air conditioning? You could have just stayed home. But you had to get in your car, and you're here. And no, Dave Drum's not here, and I need to be me, not him. But this is what I feel God has called me to share with you. And to know that you are chosen, that you are to clothe yourselves, you are to set back and say, let, and that whatever you do, and by doing that with God's Spirit in you, it will change the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these dear saints. Thank you for their hearts for this local church, for their heart for this community. Lord, I just am so grateful that you chose me. You chose them. And we're different when we think about it. And so I ask that, Lord, that you'd be led to come into us in such a way that we would look at life a little bit differently, look at people a little differently. And we love you. We're grateful for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.